Well, I'm totally excited to be able to share with you this morning. As Tyler shared earlier, and each person has, we're really excited for this series that God has us in transformation, God's passionate pursuit of people. And it's been phenomenal so far. We've loved it. And I think this is going to be one of those things that as we're talking about transformation and we get to see it in various ways, it's going to completely transform our church. And we're going to see it in many, many different ways. Well, I just want to kind of jump in this morning. I'm talking about empowered for partnership. So when I think about what I get to share today, if we could walk away with these three things that I'm going to share with you right now, man, that's my goal today, is for us to grasp these three things. The first thing is that you've been invited into a partnership. The second thing is that you're empowered. And the third thing is that what we're talking about today is possible. See, you've been invited into a global adventure to see transformation in people's lives. Friends, family, cities, towns, states, countries. Just total and complete transformation. And the funny thing is it started with Jesus when he sent out the 12. And then he sent out the 72. 120, and then he sent out the church with this goal to join him in this passionate pursuit of people. See, when I think back about evangelism, and I don't know how it's been for you, but evangelism for me has been one of those things that in the beginning it was pressure. Anybody relate to that? It's a lot of pressure. And, you know, everything would go good. You'd share with somebody, and then somebody teaching would say, when was the last time you led someone to the Lord? And you'd be like, oh, it's been a while. I haven't talked to anybody, and this huge amount of guilt. There's a lot of pressure because I felt like I had to come up with stuff, and I had to have eloquent words, and I had to basically bring people to a place of acknowledgement. And you kind of carry this around. And then sometimes I felt like I was carrying this deep, abiding joy that kind of looked a lot like sadness. But evangelism simply is this. It's responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting among unbelievers. Let me say that again. It's responding to the Holy Spirit, his prompting among unbelievers. See, I love the concept of partnership because what I experienced before with the pressure installed, all of that, partnership relieves us from that. It has the power to completely remove any pressure from us. And that's because partnering with the Holy Spirit comes from the place of rest. It's not me trying to force something to happen. It's not me coming up with perfect and eloquent words. It's not me trying to save people. It's me responding to the Holy Spirit in the place of rest. And that's why Jesus walked around doing things that sometimes people have listed as, gosh, that was really random. He invited an unpopular man who was sitting up in a tree to lunch. He decided to wait at a well and sent his friends to go get food. He draws with his finger in the sand when there's an extremely tense situation happening where a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery was thrown at his feet. And you could go, gosh, that's weird, or that's really random. But see, the reason, the Bible tells us why Jesus did that, because he said he only does what the Father does. He only says what the Father says. So there's this beautiful relationship that gets to take place where Jesus says, I'm only going to do what the Father says and what he does. And then you've got the Holy Spirit who says, you know, I'm going to do what Jesus says to do. That's what Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you and remind you. And then we get to be a part of this, where we get to respond to the Holy Spirit when he prompts us. It's this amazing relationship that we get to partner with. That's why Jesus said it was so important for the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the gift, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. See, in Acts 1:4, Jesus says, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about." Just really quick, it's a gift, and it's a promised gift. See, Jesus had told them this would come after he left. And so he tells them, hey guys, you've done all these great things, you've done this ministry, all these things, but I need you to do something. Wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift of my Holy Spirit. Later in verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. And he tells them that this power that is a free gift I'm giving to you, Peter later says it's for everyone who believes and even those who are far off. We're the far off people he was talking about. Did you know you were in the Bible? Right there. And Peter said, and all those who were far off and believe. He's talking about us. See, one of the things I've realized is my life has been massively transformed when people that God has put in my path have responded to a prompting of the Holy Spirit. How many of you could agree with that? In preparing for this message, I spent time looking back and thinking of the multiple ways that God put somebody in my path who was partnering with the Holy Spirit and responded to a prompting. Simple prompting. And today, I kind of want to take you on a little journey of that. Does that sound good? Yeah. I want to take you on a journey of an experience in my life where people have done this. Because I'm telling you, evangelism is simple. If it really boils down to just responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit amongst unbeliever, it removes all pressure from you. You don't have to come up with it. You don't have to pre-write stuff. You just get to put yourself in the situation believing that God's going to show you. I want to share a story with you. I'm going to share a couple today, but this one, we had planted a church in just outside of Houston, Texas. And we were sent from a church in California, and we planted this church in Houston, Texas, and everything was going phenomenal. I mean, we were growing extremely fast. It was a lot of the other pastors locally were like, gosh, how are you guys doing this? We were seeing people get saved. It was just a beautiful time. And it was like this ball that was rolling forward that couldn't be stopped. It was amazing. And in the midst of that, the Lord began to pull me aside and began to show me that the direction we were heading wasn't a good one. And you kind of think, what are you talking about? This is a great one. You know, most people would give their left leg to be able to do these kind of things. But there kept being this just tapping, not what was taking place, but what we were doing. And I realized, and I'm just going to be real before you, I realized that we were building to a man and not building to Jesus. And that we were setting up a foundation to head that direction in the church we were planning. And I didn't want to do that. And so we started having meetings with our elders, and they didn't want to do that. And so we made a tough decision where we honestly decided that we didn't want to go in this direction, which actually broke ties with the church that planted us. We said, we want to go a different direction. But let me tell you something. In that very moment when that happened, it just felt like everything imploded. We went from this big, massive rolling down the street to, you know, where'd everybody go? And we began to lose people. I remember we lost people because I talked to people. I said, yeah, we feel like we're supposed to leave the church. And I said, well, how come? And they said, well, just everyone else is. Well, I understand that. So we went to this place of where I was like, okay, Lord, I kind of get what you're saying, but I feel confused. I don't even know where to start. I know the glimpse of what you're talking about, but I haven't seen this modeled. I don't know what to do. And I remember specifically sitting in my office, and I have my Bible opened, and I opened to Genesis 1, because it's in the beginning. And then I flipped to Matthew. And I literally was just stuck. I was like, Lord, I don't even know what to do if we're going to restart this. And just then, I saw something on my bookshelf that someone had given me. Let me back up now. During the midst of before this turmoil, a gentleman who I didn't really know approached me, and he gave me this CD. And he said, I was reminded about this morning. He said, hey, do you remember that conference I was encouraging you that you should go with me? And I was like, yeah. And he said, I brought back one of the CDs because I just really feel like you need to hear this. And when he gave it to me, I said, okay, great. Stuck it in my Bible, somehow ended up in my office, and there it was sitting on the bookshelf. So I went over there and I grabbed the CD and I put it in and listened to it. And I was totally undone. And it was a message by Greg on the attendance of the bride. And it brought confirmation to the things that God was speaking to me. And it was one of those situations where I thought, my friend's name was Yarick. I said, do I call Yarick and punch him or hug him? Because I was ruined. All of it, just lights went on, everything clicked, and I called him and I told him that. And he said, I said, man, this is exactly what God's been speaking. This is why I took this. And he said, why don't you call him? And my experience had been that you can't talk to people who speak at conferences. Are you kidding me? So I did. I called Greg. And this, I just share this funny thing. I call Jenny Grout, answered the phone. I said, can I speak with Greg, please? And she said, who is this? And I go, oh, here we go. You know, four secretaries down the road, I'll get to leave a message. And I told her. She put me on hold. She got back. She said, can I ask what this is regarding? And I thought, oh, I'm never getting through now. So I told her. And the next, I said, I just want to leave a message for him. And she said, okay. And then it was Greg Haswell, hello. And I was stunned. I didn't expect him. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I expected to leave a message. And I think he said, well, I can hang up and you can call back and leave a message. So it was just so one of those moments that I just opened my heart. 2 weeks later, I flew down and met with Greg and Michelle. And our friendship started then. All of this because somebody decided to obey the prompting of a Holy Spirit and hand me a CD. And Michelle and I were talking about this. I'm not sure that I'd be here today if he hadn't obeyed the prompting and given me that CD. A simple response to the Holy Spirit from us can produce a massive transformation in others. My life was radically transformed after that moment. And you file it back, it was because somebody who's in partnership with the Holy Spirit obeyed the prompting to just hand me a CD. And it radically transformed my life. Radically. So let me ask you a question. Could you give somebody a CD? Are they too heavy? Oh, no, it's simple. Look at the person next to you and say, I could do that. Look at the person on the other side and say it with conviction. I could do that. If you're watching from home, say real loud in your house, hey, I could do this. So everyone else comes in and you could do this. And it doesn't have to be a CD. This is the beauty of it. It doesn't have to be a CD. It can be $20. It can just be an item that the Holy Spirit prompts you and you give. And it brings massive transformation to somebody's life. See, the cool thing about this is in Matthew 10, we're told that we don't have to worry because the Holy Spirit's going to give us the words to say. You want to, now that we have no pressure because it's obeying the prompting, let's even take more pressure off knowing that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you what to say. See, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is talking and he's saying, hey, be on your guard. Because you're going to be handed over to local councils, governors, kings. You're going to be brought before people on my account. And in verse 19, he says, but don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. It will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. There's no more pressure. There's no worry. There's no stress. He's going to tell, well, if he doesn't tell me to say anything, well, then maybe you're not supposed to say anything. See, this got me thinking, and I know the context of this is arrested and potentially thrown in jail, and it's high officials, but it got me thinking because this part jumped out. Who is God putting me before? Because the scripture says, don't worry about what to say. Before that. On account of me, you'll be brought before kings and governors as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. So it got me thinking, who is the Lord bringing me before? So I started asking on a daily basis, just these simple things. Bring me or put me before someone, Lord. Today, would you do this? And when I'm there, would you tell me what to do? And then making a choice to say, and I'm going to respond to that. It's that simple. the Lord prompts you. He's going to give you the words to say. The funny thing is there's no pressure. It's all from the place of rest. So if he doesn't give you anything, just love people. Just be kind to people. If he doesn't prompt you, don't say anything. There's this thing, I'm embarrassed to say this because I'm pretty sure I've taught this back in the day. There's this thing that I like to call conversational jump rope. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. So the person, because everything's an opportunity and the Lord said, make the most of every opportunity, right? So you're constantly looking for opportunities. Not that we shouldn't, don't hear me, but conversational jump rope is as I'm talking to someone, I'm like, somehow I need to get this into a place where I can share the gospel with them. So you're really not even listening to what they're saying. You know what I mean? So you know you play jump rope, you're going like this. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? So the person's talking and you're going like this. You're getting ready to jump into the situation. Excuse me. So you're sitting there and you're like, so how was your day? It was good. You know, it was crazy. I almost got in an accident. Accidents, no accident. We're together. Wait, let me think about this. You know, and I go, oh, well, that didn't work. So where did you get an accident? Down at the crossroad. Oh, the cross. Let me tell you about the cross. Right? It's this jump rope conversation. You don't have to do that. So you don't have to perform. If he doesn't give you anything, just love him. Just be kind to them. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Let's not do this. See, the thing that happens a lot of times is when it comes to, I've got to share with someone, I've got to say something. If we think it's on us, and I've got to conjure this up, then there's one thing that happens to us. But if we come from the place of rest, there's a separate thing. Because when we worry, and we just read it said not to worry, worry leads to fear, right? And fear freezes us. But rest leads to faith, and faith empowers us. Because you're sitting in a place of rest because it's not on you to do. When he's ready, the Holy Spirit will say, hey, why don't you do this? And I love the fact, there's a saying we say around here, of God uses the furnishings of your mind. So I get this picture of when God wants to use me and zips my head and he looks in there and he looks to see what he could use to communicate to somebody. And let me just say this up front. There's not one person that he unzips it and he goes, hello, and there's nothing in there. Okay, we'll just clear that. There's always stuff in there, and he knows how the other person needs to receive it, so he tells you what to say and how to say it, and it's different for all of us. So don't go around giving CDs out to people unless the Holy Spirit prompts you to. Amen? I want to tell you another story of how my life was transformed. It's kind of in line with what I was just saying. After we met with Greg and Michelle, I was invited to come back to a pastor's gathering that was taking place here in Atlanta. And Michelle and I got to come back at that point. I think we had, was it Josiah or Caitlin? Josiah was just born, so we were carrying him around. And we came to this great conference. I felt like I met a whole bunch of new friends. I was encouraged because we had really gone through a really difficult time without going into details. And in the midst of that, at the very end of the conference, they said, hey, if anybody wants prayer, it was very casual, very casual. If anybody wants prayer, why don't you come forward? So I looked at my wife. I said, babe, do you want to get prayer? She goes, I don't know. And we had a baby, you know, we had Josiah. So the friends that we were with that flew from Houston said, give us the baby. Why don't you guys go for prayer? And I go, oh, I think we're good. Are you good, babe? Yeah, we're good, you know. Give me the baby. Okay, take the baby. And as we were walking to the front to be prayed for, I made a startling revelation. I couldn't remember the last time that we had received personal ministry. I was like, wow, this is weird. I'm usually on the other end of this. So you know you have that feeling that something's about to happen? Something was about to happen. So we walked up to the front and a gentleman came to us. His name's Chris. And people were praying over us. It was just a really good time. And then he did something. I believe he responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And he did something that, wow, this happened like 7 years ago. And I'm still affected by the kindness of God in what he did. There's still residue on this for us. It's amazing. So Chris says, I feel like I need to do something. Can I hold your wife's hand? And I don't know Chris. So maybe I was glad he said your wife's hand and not my hand. No, I'm just kidding. So I said, yeah, here. And he grabbed her hand. And the next thing he did is he got down on one knee. And he said these words as if Jesus was speaking. He said, I'm sorry. Would you give me another chance? I've never been so ruined in that moment, because what went through my mind is the fact that everything we had just gone through, that Jesus was not behind. All of the pain and the difficulty, all of the hurt and the frustration, all of the questioning stuff, it's like God himself was saying, I'm gonna take this. My bad. Would you give me another chance? I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee you. I'm pretty sure if that hadn't happened, I don't know if we'd be in ministry today. Because it was, if you talk about a taste of grace, right there, broke it off, and he said, here. And in that moment, I believe we were restored for ministry, even though we were still doing it. It's amazing for us. Chris decided to partner with the Holy Spirit. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit to do an action. You know what's funny is I talked with Greg not too long ago, and he had talked with Chris, and he wanted to share, you know, hey, this great thing happened with Tom and Michelle. I don't know if you know this. He could kind of barely remember what happened. Oh, thank you. Sorry. He could kind of barely remember what happened. The reason I tell you that is sometimes the Lord's going to prompt you to say something, and you say it, and you're like, ha ha. And they're like, oh, thanks. Ha-ha. You know, you're like, what happened? You're not always going to know. Some of the stories I'm telling you today, they don't know. They have no idea. But because somebody chose to simply obey the prompting of the Lord, and to be honest, I don't think the Lord said to Chris, right now, get on one knee. When you're there, I'll tell you the rest. You there? Okay, now listen. I think he said, I want this couple to know that I'm going to take this, and I've called them to ministry, and out of the furnishings of his mind, he said, this is what I feel like the Lord wants to do. So the question I have for you is, can you perform an action to somebody? Doesn't have to be get on one knee and take their hand and say some profound thing, unless that's what the Holy Spirit prompts you to. Could you hold the door open? Could you help somebody who trips? Could you just perform an action? Look at the person next to you and say, I could do that. And that same meeting, there was another gentleman there who gave us a word, and it was a picture of a sail. And this is one of the guys that has no idea. And he said, you know, I see the Lord sewing a sail, and it's like the bottom has been ripped and he's remending it. And the mending process is going to take a little while. But when he finishes, that thing's going to catch and pop. And when he said that, I heard the sound. I actually tried to find a recording of something similar so I could play it for you, but I couldn't. All he did was obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit and shared a picture. And Michelle and I, to this day, in prayer times and other situations, will continually hear that sail pop. And we'll look at each other and go, ah, did you hear that? Yeah. I don't think anybody else can. Maybe everyone else can hear. I don't know. We can hear it. And it's just this pop. So every time that happens for us, I'm reminded of the word that was spoken to us by the Lord, and it encourages us. Every single time, it brings another form of transformation. Can you give someone a picture? A simple picture. Tell the person next to you, I can do that. Another one, some of these I'm going to go through on the little quick side, but another one that's funny, and I just want to share these different perspectives in my life. Another one was that Greg gave Michelle and I a prophetic word. And he said, I believe that God's restoring the relationships that have been broken back to you. Do you want to know what my first response was? That's a lot of relationships. I didn't say it out loud. I thought, wow, that'd be cool. But to be honest with you, I didn't have a lot of faith for that. But every time a relationship was restored, what do you think I thought of? And now, when these relationships keep getting restored, now I go to Greg and I go, guess what? And I tell back to him, even recently, as a couple weeks ago, relationships that were broken as a result of everything happened, they're coming. I can't even count how many of them have come around. And they've brought transformation. Could you give somebody a prophetic word? Say, I can do that. See, and again, it's if the Holy Spirit prompts you to. So you can come from the place of rest, waiting for his prompting. See, on him, it's his power, his prompting, and it's made possible through him, right? On us, it's just simple response from the place of rest. I want to close with this last story. And this is one that didn't even happen to me, but it had a tremendous impact in my life. When we were in California at a church, there was a gentleman that I used to disciple. His name was Michael. And Michael was involved in a horrible car accident where they didn't expect him to live, and the miracle was he did. He couldn't walk. He had major issues. He was blind in one eye, and in the other eye, he could only see like this tiny, tiny little part, so he'd kind of have to move his head until he found you. And one day, I used to go fishing with his brother-in-law. And one day, we were all talking together, and Mike asked me if I would meet with him and teach him scripture and the things about God. And Mike is a very big man. People say, how tall do you think Mike is? I say, he's like 6'40". I mean, he's big, just big guy. He stands up and you're like, I'm sorry. You know, he's huge. And so I used to bring him meatball subs every week because he liked meatball subs. And he'd always go, Tom, speech trouble. He used to go, Tom, I love you for bringing me my meatball subs. Oh, and the word. And we developed this incredible relationship. And we'd have fun together. You know, I'm a joking kind of guy. So when he'd try to find me, I'd always move. So he couldn't see me. And he'd say, when I find you, I'm going to punch you. You know? So here's Michael Treat. You know, I've met with him a lot of time. Great, great guy. So there's a meeting, a service going on where we have a gentleman from Kenya there. And he's preaching the gospel, and it's just been a phenomenal weekend. And I'm sitting in the front row like where Tyler is right up here. And I notice something out of the corner of my eye. And I look, and it's Michael in his wheelchair. And his brother-in-law pushed him to the front. And he just gets down and he starts, man, I'm emotional today. He gets down behind the wheelchair and he just begins to sob. And everybody in the place knew, without him saying a word, what he was asking for. So the guy from Kenya just keeps teaching and walks back and forth, and he keeps looking like, and he looks at me, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. You're the guy, you got the mic. And I remember thinking, if something happened, that would be amazing. And he walks back and forth, and then he stops, and he looks at Mike, and he goes, in a strong accent, he goes, what's wrong with you? And Mike, he couldn't understand him. So he comes down to Mike, and the guy behind him stood up and said, kind of told his story. And he goes, does he want to be healed? And, you know, there's this, oh, moment. And he says he does. And so he touches his head. As soon as he touches his head, the guy that was behind him gets thrown back about two or three rows. And there's this sense that we're about to witness something that no one has seen. And so he tells Mike, He says, be healed in the name of Jesus. He steps back and he kicks the little things that you rest your feet on. And he says, get up. And Mike goes, I can't walk. And he goes, you can now, get up. And he's looking around and he goes, I can't walk. So I go to help him. He goes, no, don't touch him. Stand up. And this 6'40" guy stands up. And the place went nuts. But what sealed it is to watch him walk back and forth in front of the stage. And at first, it was like, this tower is gonna fall, you know? And people would go and he said, don't touch him, just let him do it. And he went back and forth. And nobody can tell me God doesn't heal. I saw it with my own eyes. And next Sunday, everyone was kind of wondering, how's he gonna come in? So he'd come in the wheelchair. Nope, came walking in. Came walking right in. My life was transformed in watching a friend get radically healed. His life was transformed. Everybody in that room's life was transformed. See, the simple response to the Holy Spirit's prompting doesn't just always have an effect on you and that person. I'm telling you about the responses that happen in my life and your life's being transformed. That's the cool thing. It goes beyond just the encounter. We don't always get to know that, but it does. Can you pray for someone? Say, I can do that. Say it again, I can do that. You can pray for somebody. Does it have to be that dramatic? No, it doesn't. This is what's cool. He's up there and someone gets brought before him. Remember I was sharing with you? Mike gets brought before him. And you know he's going, what do you want me to do with this, Lord? And the Lord, because I talked to him after, the Lord says, I want you to heal him. So he goes, okay. Goes down there, prays. He jokingly said, well, I live in Kenya, so if it doesn't go well. He just obeyed the prompting of the Lord, laid hands on him, and he's healed. Still walking today. You can do that. So I want to wrap this all up with this. Could you give someone an item? Could you do an action for somebody? Could you share a picture with somebody? Could you give someone a prophetic word? Could you pray for someone? Because a simple response to the Holy Spirit's prompting from us or from you can produce a massive transformation in others. And can I tell you something? We were born for a time like this. This is our time. We were born for a time like this because I believe there's other Toms waiting out there for somebody to obey the prompting, the simple prompting of the Holy Spirit in the place of rest so that their life can be transformed. How many of you experienced transformation from somebody like a story like I shared similar to you? How many of you guys have experienced that before? Look at that. This is our time to sit in the place of rest, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct. All of these people were in partnership with him. Let's be in partnership with him. All of these people walked in the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Let's walk in that empowering. And they all realized that this is possible. Some of these people have no idea how it radically transformed my life. Some of them do. But I'm telling you, there's people just like you and me that are waiting for somebody in the place of rest to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit so transformation can come to them. Amen? Amen. So there's three things that I want to pray for today. The first is if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I'm talking about this partnership, and even if you're at home, I'm talking about this partnership, and you go, I want a partnership with the Lord. I want to pray for you. Because the beautiful thing that we get to share, the taste of grace, is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. There's no punishments for sins left for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God has been fully satisfied because of the Lord. And the Bible says to take hold of that is to believe. So if you're here this morning or you're watching from home and you want to say, I believe and I want him to forgive me of my sins and I want him to come into my life, then we're just all going to bow our heads and you just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for paying for them all, past, present, and future. I ask you to come into my life and make me a new man. And I ask you to partner with me in this amazing adventure that I now get to walk in. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, man, your sins are forgiven, an adventure begins. And if you're here in this building, meet me right out in the lobby. I have a free gift that I'd like to give you. It's a Bible, and there's a book and a little thumb drive for teaching, just to get you on your way. And if you're watching from home, and that's a decision that you made, if you could send us an email, we'd love to get this stuff out to you as well, to say thanks and encourage you on your journey, but also to get you started. And the last two opportunities they want or to pray is this. I'm going to ask the elders and deacons to come to the front. We have a prayer minister team that's going to be up here as well. I know that some prophetic words are going to come up on the slide to tell you that this is what they've prayed for. But there's specifically two things that the Lord really put on my heart this morning. The first one is this. If you're struggling with fear, any kind, and specifically what the Lord spoke to me is fear of dying, fear of sickness, or just I just get bound up when I want to talk to somebody, or if there's any fear whatsoever, we believe in a God who can break fear, amen? Just gone in a moment. And so I want to invite you to come and receive prayer this morning. And if you're watching from home, you can do the same thing right from wherever you're sitting. It's just ask the Lord, Lord, would you come and break fear off me? And he'll do it. And then the second thing is this. Talked about partnering with the Holy Spirit and being empowered, right? So if you want the power of the Holy Spirit to come on you, if you want this power that the Bible talks about, there's a promised free gift that not only disciples got, but we got as well, then we want to pray for you as well. And you can come forward and receive prayer. Does that sound good? So I'm just going to close us in prayer. And then if those two things are for you, come forward. If you're watching from home, you can ask the Lord right there from your house, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And he will. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to partner with you. Lord, you could do this all on your own, but you're a communal God and you love to have partnership with us. And so Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to partner with you and see people's lives transformed. So Lord, we just ask this day as we go, will that I can do this resonate in our hearts? Lord, can we see the simplicity of it, of giving an item or a CD or giving a picture or a word or just being kind and nice so that we can all participate in this goodness revolution that has been spoken over this church? So we yield ourselves to you, Lord, and we thank you for the ease in which we get to do this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.